This morning, we're going to be talking about embracing explorers. Embracing explorers. I'm going to explain what that means as well. Yes, this is a little trance effect that we have for today. So one of the core values of New City is we are a missional community. How do we define this? What's a missional community? It means that we love explorers of Jesus as much as we love those of us who believe in Jesus, right? We love explorers of Jesus as much as those of us who believe in Jesus. And we often keep saying that a community without a mission is a dead end in itself. If you know of any community across the globe, every community has a mission. And we at New City are all on a mission. When we've experienced outrageous love from Jesus, how can we keep it within ourselves, within our community? We want to love our friends and our friends of friends as much as we love each other. And this is our value. In fact, many of us who actually walked in for the first time in the past couple of weeks or past couple of years would have felt that this community accepted us as we are without being judged. That is because Jesus accepted us without judging us. However, we must all admit that living this mission out is really hard. Let's face it, it is challenging. I know we are living it. Yes, we are living it. But on many levels, it is challenging. More often than not, I find myself really struggling to deeply engage with new explorers. I'll talk to you on a Sunday. We'll have a great conversation. But sustaining that relationship for me is hard work. And I want to admit that I'm really bad at that. It's not just me. As humans, we can come to an understanding that it is really hard to love people who are different from us. Because of the sole reason that we cannot relate to them. That is not my first response. They're not like me. Probably their opinions on major issues differs from mine. Probably it can be as trivial, as superficial as the dressing sense. Let's be honest. We struggle being around people who are different and make us feel uncomfortable. Imagine having to love our demanding bosses and our difficult colleagues as much as we love each other. Can we do that? I love Anand. I really love It definitely doesn't come naturally to us, right? But this exists everywhere, even in our own ethnic communities. I mean, within India, people are so different, it is hard to love people from other parts of the very country itself. As human beings, we really, really are struggling to love people who are not like us. And we are naturally inclined to excluding people who are different, and this struggle is real. Can we accept that? This struggle is real. But you know what? The passage for today is from the Bible, and it addresses this very problem. It is found in the book of Acts. This book is found in the New Testament of the Bible. This is the part where it is after Jesus. Jesus came on the earth. He lived. He died. He rose again. He went back. Now the disciples are figuring out, okay, now Jesus happened. What do we do now? This is the phase we are in. What does this mean for us as a community, as a church? What does this mean for us? And this is where we find this passage. All our struggles are perfectly reflected in this story. There's a disciple of Jesus who really struggles to engage with an explorer and embrace an explorer of Jesus. Also, very interestingly, this passage records the first time ever the good news of Jesus going outside of the Jewish community, the people who believe the God of the Bible. And this is the first time this good news of Jesus is going out of this community, right? And this guy, has really experienced what we are experiencing. So I'll break my talk into three pointers. And break this passage and put it under three pointers so we can process this easily. Right? You with me?
Yes.
Yes. Let's pray before we dig in. Father, you've given outrageous love to us. You've given it freely in the form of your Son. Lord, we've received it. We've received it in full. But we struggle to show it to others. Would you help us see that struggle this morning? And Holy Spirit, would you help us overcome that struggle this morning? In your name we pray. Amen. So I'll divide my talk into three parts. The first is the explorer. The second is the believer in Jesus. And the third is the Holy Spirit. Right? Can you go to the first one? The explorer. The passage reads like this. It's a story. It's a nice story. If that's not clear, I'm going to read it for you. At Caesarea, there was a man called Cornelius, a centurion in what was known as the Italian regiment. He and all his family were devout and God-fearing. He gave generously to those in need and prayed to God regularly. One day at about 3 p.m, he had a vision. He distinctly saw an angel of God who came to him and said, "Cornelius." Cornelius stared at him in fear. "What is it, Lord?" he asked. The angel answered, "Your prayers and gifts to the poor have come up as a memorial offering before God. Now send men to Joppa," which is a place close by, "to bring back a man named Simon who is called Peter. He is staying with another Simon, the tanner, whose house is by the sea." When the angel who spoke to him had gone, Cornelius called the two of his servants and a devout soldier who was one of his attendants. He told them everything that happened and sent them to Joppa. Right? The explorer that we are introduced to in this passage is called Cornelius. He was part of the Roman army and he held the position of a centurion, which by the name suggests he managed a group of 100 soldiers. From these very few lines of intro to this guy, we see that he was quite a successful and affluent man. Apart from having 100 soldiers below him, he also had like personal servants and a devout soldier who was an attendant to him. Right? He was not only successful, but also a very good-natured man. He was generous, gave away money to those in need. Living in a city like Mumbai, we also lead quite successful lives. I know success is subjective, but when we know that we're able to work in one of the best global cities in the world, afford living here in Mumbai, which holds probably the highest real estate prices in the entire world, we often also spend a lot of time on entertainment and all of that apart from this. By all means, people, we are living the Mumbai life. People dream to live this Bombay life. And we are living it. We are successful. And this passage also suggests that Cornelius was deeply interested in God and in the things of God. Not Jesus. The passage tells later that it was not Jesus yet, but he was interested in God. He was keenly exploring him. He prayed regularly and in his own faith, in his own ways expressed faith in him. The passage later it suggests that it was not Jesus yet. At New City, we have a lot of us who are at different levels of our walk with in our faith. And a lot of us are believers in Jesus, but we also have a lot of us who are still checking this God and Jesus thing out. Like, it's hard work. Yes, it is hard. And people are here to check it out. And this community, we give a free space, a good space for people to figure this out on their own. And much like Cornelius, I would like to believe that deep down, we are interested in God and in the things of God. Why do I say that? I can see that all of us do enjoy this community. Yes, we do enjoy this community. And if there's one thing that this community lives, proclaims, and swears by, is the good news of what Jesus did for us. His death for our sins, His resurrection, and in all of this, we believe in Him and live this out. And everything that we do is defined by this. So if we are engaging with this community, I would like to believe that either we are interested or slowly discovering an interest in God and in things of God. This is a great place to be. Let me tell you this. This is a great place to be. And this morning, Jesus is wanting to talk to you just like He's talking to Cornelius. He's wanting to talk to you this morning. Let's go back to the story. He says, your prayers and gifts to the poor have come up as a memorial offering before God. God is essentially bringing comfort and assurance to this confused and striving explorer at this point in time, who's probably listening to him for the first time. He says that all that he's doing is not going unnoticed. It is not going unnoticed. This morning, those of us who are struggling with our faith and finding it difficult to put our faith and trust in Jesus because of our fears, probably God is asking us to take a deep step of faith this morning. Let me give you a little context into what God is asking Cornelius to do in this passage. Now send men to Joppa to bring back a man called Simon, who is called Peter. He's staying with Simon the tanner, whose house is by the sea. Now Cornelius might not know who Peter is, but governing a Jewish province, he knew what he was in for in inviting a Jew to his home. A Jew coming to a non-Jew's house in those days was unthinkable and was looked down upon. And we see that in this passage, when Peter comes to his house, he said to them, you are well aware that it is against our law for a Jew to associate with or visit a Gentile. According to the Jewish law and legal opinions, God is really displeased when Jews show hospitality to Gentiles. And a non-Jew is, this is how they interpret it. And a non-Jew is considered, it's not considered a neighbor. And there are many such ways in which Jews experienced superiority over a Gentile. So in inviting Peter to his home, Cornelius, he expressed a great faith and boldness. What are these areas of fear in our lives God is asking us to overcome? Are we afraid of the implications of our decisions this morning if you're exploring Jesus? What are the steps of faith that we need boldness for? Let's see what happens when Cornelius sends for Peter and Peter, who is the believer of the story. About noon, the following day, as they were on their journey and approaching the city, Peter went up onto the roof to pray. He became hungry and wanted to eat something. And while the meal was being prepared, he fell into a trance. He saw heaven opened and something like a large sheet being let down to the earth by its four corners. It contained all kinds of four-footed animals as well as reptiles and birds. Then a voice told him, get up, Peter. Kill and eat. He says, surely not, Lord, Peter replied. I have never eaten anything impure or unclean. The voice spoke to him a second time. Do not call anything impure that God has made clean. This happens three times. And Peter is getting used to this three times business even before, right? This happened three times, and immediately the sheet was taken back into heaven. While Peter was still thinking about the vision, the Holy Spirit said to him, Simon, three men are looking for you, so get up and go downstairs. Do not hesitate to go with them, for I have sent them. Allow me to address those of us who are believers in this community, believers in Jesus. From what we read here, it is very clear that Peter is experiencing the difficulty to a much greater extent. He's lived in this culture where they're not allowed to do a lot of things in terms of the law, and this has never been done before. It is so anti-cultural, anti-traditional for him to do, and it involved a lot of risk. And we can later on see that he actually had to go and explain his actions to the people. Let us ask ourselves this question. What is it that makes it hard for us to embrace an explorer of Jesus? Let's see from Peter's reaction itself. He says, "Surely not, Lord," Peter replied. "I have never eaten anything impure or unclean." Allow me to point to us two important reasons why we find it hard. The first is presumptions about God, our presumptions about God, and our presumptions about sin. Let's explore presumptions about God. Often as followers of Jesus, we get presumptuous with our idea of Jesus and the way our idea of how he works. And when he makes us do something we feel uncomfortable, we tend to think it is not from God at all. I mean, we say in our own way, "Surely not, Lord." I mean, no way. Allow me to share a story from my own life. I mean, post-college, when all my plans for myself were giving way, I sensed God birthing in me a desire for a full-time ministry with the church to help people love Jesus more. So coming from a family of full-time ministers, it was not very difficult for me to obey. It was difficult at some levels, but coming from this family, it was not very difficult for me to obey. So I thought the first logical step was for me to sign up for a seminary for theological education. I was preparing for the entrance exam, and that's when a call came to me from the general manager of the hotel Novotel, and he asked me to handle the marketing for this entire hotel. I'm like, okay, I sense this is happening in me. I sense that this is the desire, and what is this call? So I prayed about it. Initially, in my own ways, I said, "Surely not, Lord. Surely not." I listened, but later I listened and obeyed, and I went and took up that job. And you wouldn't believe that brief stint in that workplace actually was a preparation for me to take up this pastoral role at New City. I worked with a bunch of highly driven professionals. We got to interact with a lot of artists as a part of my job. And this is exactly the kind of people we are intentionally reaching out to in the city of Bombay. Who would have thought that a corporate job would equip someone for being missional in a full-time pastoral role? I didn't. I was too familiar with my idea of God and how he works, and I really struggled to see this. Allow me to ask us this question. Are we too presumptuous about God and Jesus that we are closed down when he shows us opportunities that make us feel uncomfortable? Are we too presumptuous about God? The second is presumptuous about sin. Who knows better than a bunch of Christians what sin is and what sin is not? Right? We are the first to call out people and say, "That is sin. You're a sinner." I know we've experienced different in this community, but trust me, deep down, we do define sin and we do define what is correct and what is not. Peter says, "I have never eaten anything impure or unclean." You know what? Our presumptions about sin make us blind to our sinfulness. This often makes us exclude people who are not like us, or if I may add, those who do not share the same sin patterns as us. Our presumptions about sin makes us blind to my sinfulness. I would like to share one more example again from my previous workplace. Trust me, I learned a lot here. This was preparation for me to come here. Otherwise, I would have judged you all. Okay. So as a part of my previous role, I had to market for the hotel's lounge bar, right? This was the best lounge bar in town, and it catered to a very niche crowd, and it was the best businessmen and the top-notch professionals of the city. It was doing very well. Now, I had an issue with doing marketing for this place. If you're judging me, let me explain what the issue was. The success of this marketing for this lounge bar is directly defined by the amount of sale that this place does. If my marketing is doing well, the bar sale is going high, right? And when we aim for the highest bar sale, we are also implying that we are wanting people to drink as much as they can and get drunk. I was struggling with this. I was like, how do I do this? There was a huge mental block in my mind. That's when I spoke to my good friend, Anand, who has often called me out on some of my decisions and helped me think. And this is what he said. He asked me if we had a restaurant in the hotel. I said yes. He asked if people come and eat at the restaurant. I said yes. Do you have people coming and overeating at the restaurant? I said yes, I overeat. We have a buffet. We have the best buffet in town. Then he asked me, is gluttony not a sin? So I don't know what to say at that point in time, but this definitely helped me think. Then he said something. Whether you're there or not, people will come and do what they will do. But if you're there, you can show the love of Jesus to these people. I fail to see that this is the kind of people God is chasing after, and he put me there for a reason. I was finding it difficult to embrace these people. Our presumptions about sin make us blind to our sinfulness. It excludes people who are not like us. It excludes people not like us and who do not share same patterns, same sin patterns as us. We all need Jesus. All of us need Jesus. Trust me, if this is your first time in a church kind of setting, we're not saying only you need Jesus. We need Jesus. How have we grown familiar with our ideas of sin? Have we grown comfortable with our own set of insiders and believers of Jesus, that we're excluding those of us who are not sharing the same sin patterns as us? Let us take a couple of minutes to introspect on why we find it difficult to embrace the explorer. For me, it is hard work. Let me tell you what I'm really good at. I'm really good at making a lot of friends. My thing is touch and go, touch and go, touch and go. I have a lot of friends. If you're friends with me on Facebook, you will know that I have a lot of friends, online and as well offline. And what I'm really terrible at is when I make a new friendship, I find it really hard to sustain it. And there's a huge room for improvement in that. And this is the kind of friendship that God is asking us to build. Not touch and go, not touch and go. Touch and invest. Touch and invest. It involves investing time. It involves investing effort. It involves investing money. Yes, money. Relationships take us to invest our money and energy. And it involves getting uncomfortable. It involves getting uncomfortable. And deep inside, I was afraid that I'll have to expend myself into this. What is that thing that is keeping us away? If it is this, then probably God is calling us out on this morning. Summing up my first two points, God is in the business of making the uncomfortable explorer comfortable and making the comfortable believer uncomfortable. He's in the business of making the uncomfortable explorer comfortable and the comfortable believer uncomfortable. Then we see Peter actually obeys when he hears from the God's Holy Spirit. He actually obeys and goes to Cornelius' home. We'll dig deeper into this in my third point when I introduce the Holy Spirit. Peter now goes to his house along with a couple of believers and is received by Cornelius. With his friends and his family. And Cornelius actually gathered all his friends, all his family, and they were waiting for this guy. Peter then goes on to give the gospel, which is the good news of Jesus, of how an insider of a perfect community chose to leave the comforts of heaven and come down to meet with imperfect, sinful beings like us and chose to become uncomfortable. He experienced discomfort at the greatest extent. Why discomfort? A holy and perfect God can never be comfortable with sin. And when Jesus died on the cross, all our sinfulness was put on him. The insider of a perfect community experienced discomfort to the greatest level. He paid it all so that anyone Let me repeat it. Anyone from any ethnicity, from any language, any creed, any color, who believes in the name of Jesus can be part of this perfect community. Perfect not based on what we do, but perfect based on what Jesus did for us. This is only by putting our faith in Him. This is the good news, my friends. Let's face it. It is impossible for us to live these perfect lives and be completely sinless. We know our struggles. And in God's standard, that is what is needed. The good news is we don't need to meet it. Jesus already met it for us and is right now in the job of transforming us like that. And as this good news was declared, in this mixed gathering, probably something like this, of believers in Jesus and explorers of Jesus, the passage says, while Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit came on all who heard the message. The circumcised believers who had come with Peter were astonished that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out even on Gentiles, basically the people who are not Jews. The Holy Spirit who orchestrated this entire thing in sending the angel and speaking to Cornelius and he himself speaking to Peter shows up in this gathering of a mixed gathering of believers in Jesus and explorers of Jesus. Now this really blew my mind. What does this descending of Holy Spirit mean to us? Let me tell you, it is very interesting to see that the first time this ever happened in the New Testament, that is the part where Jesus comes, it happened at the beginning of Jesus' work on earth. As soon as he was baptized, suddenly heavens were opened and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and resting on him. And a voice from the heavens said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." After this incident, it happened again when it's called the day of the Pentecost, when these bunch of Jews who are believers in the God of the Bible gathered, the good news of Jesus was preached to them, and all of them, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they were accepted as sons. Now in a very unique scenario, this is happening at Cornelius' home, who is not a Jew. This, my friends, is an affirmation from God by sending His Holy Spirit upon not just believers, but even the explorers. He's giving them all right to be His sons by putting their faith in Jesus, whose sonship is gifted to us by His death on the cross. Not just these close community. He's offering sonship to anyone who believes. Anyone who believes. Let me establish from the Bible itself. I am not making this up. A disciple of Jesus called Paul has written the book of Romans. And in Romans he says, "The spirit you received does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. The spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children." This morning, I believe the Holy Spirit is willing to do that to us. Not just for those of us who are believers in Jesus, but those of us who are exploring Him. Probably this is a sign that you've been looking for. The Holy Spirit breaks into the presumptions of the comfortable believer and the fears of the uncomfortable explorer, to bring them together in one community as God's children. He breaks into the presumptions of a comfortable believer and breaks into the fears of an uncomfortable explorer and brings them together in one community as God's children. This morning, as a community of followers and non-followers of Jesus, no matter where we are in our walk of faith, can we ask the Holy Spirit, who is the resident, who is willing to reside in our hearts, to come and touch us in a tangible way? For those of us who are followers of Jesus, we probably need the Holy Spirit to break into our presumptions about God and sin. It's probably going to make us feel uncomfortable, but it produces greater joy. Are we willing to let the Holy Spirit break into us this morning? If you're not a follower of Jesus this morning, can we ask the Holy Spirit to give us an unmistakable, tangible experience, just like in Cornelius' case, to help us put our faith completely, fearlessly in Him? Can we ask Him for the courage to make a bold decision to follow Jesus? He's willing to do that for us this morning.